Hello, are we podcasting?
Are we podcasting?
I think we are. Are these readers or sunglasses?
They're sunglasses. Okay. That's the wrong one. What? You can watch. Hold on. Oh my God. Such a professional. Hold on.
Can we please cut that? That is, it's, she just,
you know what? In real life,
like
we're very relatable. It's like Mom So Hard. It's all about being relatable. I am a phlegmy woman. I have always been. Oh. It is who I am. I'm suffering from allergies right now. Jen. Evidently, I'm allergic to everything. Are we podcasting? Yeah. Okay. I was trying to tell Kristen that because she has been talking so much about Walton Goggins,
he is
appearing everywhere in my life right now. Not real life, but like every podcast I listen to, every Instagram and TikTok, because we share one, is that guy.
Because he's doing a lot of promotion because they can talk about White Lotus now, which is all I want to talk about. And so I have been deep diving him, and so he is very much on our FYP.
If that's what you want to call it.
Listen, you mind your own business. I just find him.
I tried to, Chris.
So incredibly charming.
It's upsetting.
I find him charming. I think he's interesting. I think he's artsy. I think he's.
He is.
He's been working forever. He's devastatingly handsome.
I sent Kristen an Architectural Digest article about him, so I'm adding fuel to this fire. But I was listening to Conan Needs a Friend. Conan, have us on there, okay? Our podcast, yeah. I feel like we'd really, and actually.
Conan needs us as friends.
You know what I feel like? I love Colin Colin.
You might, my husband, you love him? I do too. He's fine with my
Colin.
Goggins.
I do.
Wait, hold on. He's fine
like
with my
family.
Goggins crush. He didn't watch White Lotus, so he's out of the loop.
I think Conan O'Brien is. He's like you. I think your brains work similarly.
That's the nicest thing anybody said to me.
I like get him, you know. So he had Danny McBride on that I was listening to like a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about how much they love
him.
Yeah.
And I was like, everybody loves him.
Now,
me.
I know.
In particular. It's going to be weird when I meet him because it'll be like, I did so much research that I found out where you live.
Do you want to just like watch him like bench press stuff or you
no.
want to kiss him?
No,
you
wanna... no. He was in an interview and they said, if you could be a wild animal, what would you be? And he leaned back and he has his shirt kind of open and he goes,
oh, no.
A fox. I'd be a fox.
You said
and I was
this.
Like,
yeah.
Sorry. He's... Didn't I just take off my pants? Sorry. What time is it?
That's that sound that you heard. If you heard
sorry,
something
my,
fall,
my shirt
was...
fell off the back of my chair, but
yeah,
what really
right.
fell off was my pants.
That's right. Yeah. But we're not here to talk about Walton Goggins again.
Even though I could just start a podcast about
it. It's just a fan podcast.
It's just me, just like, I think there
I
would be a market.
I don't want brought into any legal drama, Kristen. I don't want to have to say, yeah.
I mean, it's.
I kept trying to steer her away from Walton and she just kept driving it,
then
that
there's
boat
like
going
to be some legal documents to say, you got to back off. Do I? Or would we be great together? And I mean that in the, I'm not going to leave my husband.
No, but you know what?
If we
Walton is interested in leaving his long-term committed.
He's married with a son and he loves her and they're happy and I would never be a homewrecker. I'm just saying, let my imagination run free.
Yeah.
Let it run free.
You can wreck that home in your brain.
I can. I don't see. And I love the way he styles his house. And they have a dog bed.
I'm telling you, stop it. We're going to say, hi, welcome to the I'm Mom So Hard podcast that is not about Walton Goggins, okay?
Maybe
Goggin or Goggins?
Goggins. How dare you?
we have a different hot flash than we will get into later that I'm making Kristen very uncomfortable with.
Well, yeah.
You might notice if you're on YouTube watching this, please do. Rate, review, and subscribe, would you please?
For yeah, and all don't anybody think that we're getting like bougie because I'm wearing a Burberry sweater.
She got
this
it on
shit
Temu.
Is Temu.
Yeah. But rate, review, and subscribe. And if you're watching, we are back in the studio.
Yes, we're back in the studio. We're home
Sheila.
For 4 weeks.
Sheila's here. She's also got a quiet, charming, delightful laugh that you may not hear.
And she's young and sweet and cute, and we're going to ruin her.
Dresses like $1 million,
yeah.
You guys.
Every time I see her, I'm like, I want to get cool, oversized, athletic pants. But then when I wear them, everyone's like, you've given up.
Yeah. Are you living in your car now, Jen?
Yeah.
It looks like things
are
rough
on
you.
You need an elastic waistband?
Like, oh, hey, I'm in a music video, just being cool and stuff.
100%.
Actually, if I give you my phone later, Will you just put stuff in a cart for me because I'm going on a trip next week?
Oh, man, her cart and my cart, very different.
I know, but that's why I want her cart.
I would like her cart. The wheels on her cart are not like bumping around. And
you know what?
It doesn't squeak.
Kristen and I'm going to look at your phone and I'm going to look at your app because I feel later when we pass the phones around.
Oh, right.
Okay. I want to look at your app because I think that we can upgrade your tickets. I got to look in there.
Yes, I'm getting ready to go on. And this is fun because this is who I wanted to talk about today. Getting ready to go on my first ever mommy-daughter trip with Eleanor to New York. She has a friend there who moved back to New York at the start of her sixth grade year. And Eleanor was just devastated because Charlie and Eleanor are very close friends. And so this has been a long time coming where she gets to see her buddy in New York. She gets to stay there. I'm staying there as well. Thank you to the family for letting me stay because it saves me a shit ton on hotels in the old New York City.
Yeah.
And I literally can't wait. So, of course, like we bought tickets, and because it's not work related, it's different when that's the budget. So I'm like, all right, we're going to go coach. But then I'm like, come on, upgrades. American, we've only been flying with you for 10 years. Upgrade our asses.
I think I can make it happen.
I think Jen's good at the app. Okay. You know me.
Open Delta. Open Delta.
You make fun of me. This is the way of the future. The young people aren't doing it because their eyes aren't bad, but we're going to go full voice everything soon. We're going to be able to go like,
it's already doing that because
Open Delta, and it'll be a screen in front of our eyeballs. That's what's going
to
happen.
We were talking, my husband and I were talking about our little trip. He goes to Google and it just came up our resort and stuff. It's like Big Brother's watching. Sidebar to taking trips. I'll tell you guys about mine. That is not the focus, but I want to say Kristen inspired me to, we were in Florida and she goes, for shows.
Yeah.
Go to imomsohard.com. There's still tickets. Texas, what's up?
Hey, Texas, we're coming to you. You guys are like, you never come to Texas. We're coming to Texas.
Okay.
We're going to be in Austin. We're going to be in Dallas.
San Antonio.
Let's do it. San Antonio. Yeah,
get there, ladies.
You got to come out and see this show. It's super flipping fun. And
also, these cheap ass brides are keeping the tickets cheap too.
Yeah, we have not raised our ticket prices in 8 years.
Yeah.
Just so you know that.
We lowered them during COVID and left them low.
Yeah. So come on out.
That's what kind of savings. Open Delta.
Open. This is why I'm flying coach to New York.
So
sorry.
We're in Florida and Kristen was like, everybody's wearing bikinis. She's like,
everybody type
is wearing bikinis. And I'm like, what if I just did that? And she's like, why don't you? So I'm going to get a two-piece. I'm going to just go.
Go for it.
I'm going to get one and be like, because we're going to be in Mexico.
Who cares?
We're going to be in Cabo. It's a short flight. Got it all on points because Open Delta.
I think you're going to look great in a bikini.
You've
got a tiny little waist. For me, it's like putting a two-piece on like a light pole.
Well, I do have one of those stomachs still that it looks like, oh, you could probably fit a small baby in there because it's got that shape.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's not going away, but I sort of feel like, fuck it.
I just need a higher waistband that I can tuck my stuff in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I went too low, then I don't, it would eat the bottom.
I don't think
anybody wants that.
No, I'm not saying I'm going to wear anything too small on the lower half, but I am saying it's going to have a midsection that is free
to be.
To be, yeah.
Because that's what I noticed when we were in Fort Lauderdale. I was like, oh my gosh, you go down to the beach and it's really not, there's a lot of it that is your state of mind.
Yeah.
Like you go down there and the women are like laying out to get the sun and then they're going down to see what's ever in the ocean and they're like waiting a bit, you know, in the water. And it's like, oh, these are not perfect, quote unquote, perfect bodies. Now, listen, there were a couple that I was like, God, what are you, 28 and just doing yoga all the time? Like,
not even when I was 28.
I was 28. But I did think, I was like, oh yeah, this is just a different mentality where you're like, of course you're at the beach. You're going to show your skin. You're like, instead of being like, I must cover myself in shame.
Everyone from the visage.
You're going to look at me and you're going to be like, yes, she's got cellulite and she has had children. And I'm going to be like, that's accurate.
Well, and my husband,
I can also do a headstand.
I've mentioned before that my husband likes to brush his teeth for a month straight before he goes to the dentist.
Oh boy.
He has a similar weight loss regimen that he goes through.
Is he on it right now? He's like doing push-ups currently.
I think so. Yeah. Cause he really did say, he's like, well, we did it so last minute where I was like, we need a vacation. We've only been to the Wisconsin Dells. I love you, Wisconsin, but my kids,
we need, We're on the coast of Mexico, and it's not more expensive for us as Californians to go to Mexico.
No, I think it was maybe cheaper. It's actually
maybe cheaper.
So I did it like very last minute, and he was like, "Oh man, I go, can you just go and have fun and not worry about it? Like, it's going to be you and me. And look, I see you in the shower all the time. Like, let's just deal with each other's bodies at the ages that we are.
And you're going to be free, baby.
And we're going to have a couple cocktails, and we're going to be so hot for each other.
It's going to be gross.
Yeah.
And great.
Wait, no, not
I
gross
mean,
for
I
me.
I mean, gross. I just
don't picture just, it.
Well,
don't
imagine what you just said, we're going to be so hot for each other.
Don't imagine what's going to happen on
my
vacation.
You said we're
going to
go have drinks. I saw drinks. We're going to be gross for each. We're going to be hot for each other. I saw fornication. And
that's
going to
happen because we get like a little situation where the kids are going to be on the pullout couch. I'm going to lock that door.
Something's
going to
pull out.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Gross.
It could be a lot of eating in bed and watching murder.
That's the sexiest thing you could say to me.
I know.
Yeah. I'm happy for you. Look at my arms crossed. I'm like, I'm happy for you. I further do not want to talk about this.
Okay, but I do think you're doing girls' trip. We've never done that before.
Never done a mommy-daughter trip. I'm very excited. And I am also excited to have just a couple days on my own in New York, which feels like a dream. Because I am that person that, like, I just want to go eat the local fare.
She loves New York.
I love New York. I love going to – I could spend – literally morning to night in a museum. Like, I don't want to go to a contemporary art museum because I think that's bullshit, but I do love going to see like all the old paintings from the Renaissance. I love to, like, again, contemporary art and me, we're not friends. I'm like, that's just a big orange square. But I love New York City, and I love street food, and I love kind
of
rude people. And I'm down. I'm ready.
So you're going to maybe see a show.
Maybe whatever I can get. I'm going to see a show. I'm going to go to the Cellar to see comedy. I'm going to do whatever I can do that just, I just want this to be like, I feel like I just want to walk around and see shit. And if I see shit, great. And if I end up like having a chat at a local pub, that's great too. I just feel this need to
there is no chance of that not happening. There is... New Yorkers, beware. There's going to be a woman staring up at the
who needs a friend. I'm going to see Casey. She's going to go with me.
Oh, good. Okay.
So I have to tell you, the last time I was in New York, we took the kids, and it was post-COVID, but it was still a little bit COVID, and there was an outbreak on Broadway. And so literally everybody was in their seats to see a show, and they go, nope, and they let everybody out. I was like, just an idea. But if you let everybody out at the same time, New York City— in a COVID burst. Yeah. Feels like...
Same diff. Yeah.
Same diff. You might as well see a show. Rockettes, let's do it.
We've already been sitting next
we've
to
been
each
sitting
other
it,
for
we're
a while.
We're already infected. So all we did was stayed all of our time in Central Park and went ice skating. And it was
that sounds lovely.
So fun. But there was one night that Colin and I left the kids in the hotel. We were like, you're old enough, right? And they were like, yeah, get out of here. They were on their iPads. Yeah. They had hotel keys. I'm like, peace out.
Yeah.
And we went to a pub. And this bartender was so underwater. He could not figure anything out. And he goes, our bartender didn't show up. I'm by myself. I only bar back. I don't know how to run any of these machines. I don't know how to pour any of these drinks. And I'd had a couple. And Colin goes, don't. And I go,
yeah, I know. How long did it take you to jump behind
four
that
minutes.
Bar?
Okay. And I was like, okay, you're going to grab that bottle and you're going to do a 3-point. Okay. Now grab that. Now listen, go to your micro. I want you to
figure
separate
out the
tabs.
Machines and I'll make all the drinks.
And I go, is it cool if I jump back there? And he goes, no, I don't think so. I go, okay. Let's go and grab that. I would have worked a shift. Oh, I already cut a woman off. It wasn't even my job. I go, don't give her another drink, man.
Yeah, nope,
she is not
too much.
To me. She comes up and I'm like, absolutely not.
Sorry,
I think everybody thought
that.
I was in management.
You were trying to have a vacation without me and I couldn't stay away.
Nothing makes me feel better than being needed in a moment that's unexpected. It's literally I feel like I'm like in a movie at that point.
Well, okay. So Britt had a work trip, and this was before the kids were born, and I went with him, and he was like, I don't know what you're gonna do. I'm like, I will figure it out. Yeah, we were staying in like Garment District or something like
Garment?
That. Garment.
She's in Garment District. Sorry, you guys. I have like a hair on my nose, and so I'm so itchy.
Get it.
That Timu sweater.
Let me start over. We were staying at the Garment. Is that right?
The Garment.
Garment? I think
nope.
That's not right.
Garment.
Garment.
Yep.
Now what you're saying sounds wrong.
Okay. It's not garment. It's not garment. Garment.
It's not Kermit with a G.
Nope, but we're going to move on.
All right. So
it's those hard words in the English language that trip us up, like garment.
I don't know. There's a lot of unexpected consonants in that word, if I'm going to be completely honest. Only two unexpected. If you were
They're the ones that are used a lot, A's and E's.
I bet it. The correct way to say it probably is jarmet
okay,
or something.
I'm going
to
punch you. Go
origin,
on.
Okay. Anyways, we're seeing and learning. It was so fantastic. Where you could get like dupes and stuff
Yeah.
So I just got up. I got coffee. It was kind of
oh,
cold.
Oh, Jen's in. Jen's like, don't.
Heaven.
Don't bother me.
Somehow I wound up on a ship out in a port going through stuff.
She's like, I'm just going to look at these Chanels real quick. Yeah, that is really fun to go down there. If they see that you're carrying a nice bag, they take you to another room that has all the secret bags in it. I did not get that.
I didn't get that either. But it was like, I bought like a whole bunch of like, my grandma was still alive and she loved like sparkly stuff. So I was like, can I just buy like a million different hair clips and clip-on earrings for like free?
The answer is yes.
Yes. And then I brought those. But it was so much fun. And then I was like, I went to lunch by myself. I like read the paper. I sat in the park.
That's what you can do in New York City. You're just, the walkability is so fantastic. And everywhere you go, there's a chance to sit down. You can talk to people. You don't have to talk to people. There's like energy. I love that kind of city life because as big as New York is, it's tucked in and it's small. Manhattan in particular.
Right.
So I just think there's a lot, and there's a lot for families to do. I think New York should be on everybody's bucket list to go visit because there's so much cool shit to do and not do and eat pizza from a truck that's the best pizza you've ever had.
Just like,
and it's $4 a slice.
Just like everywhere else. You don't appreciate it if you live there. Like,
The rats are a situation. I'm not into that.
Well, like where we live is very near the beach. You know, it's not a far drive.
And we go twice a year.
Yeah. Never go. It's like Universal Studios. I'm like, but the parking. And
yeah.
It's like Disney's. So you don't appreciate it if you live there. By the way, people, if you live in the Midwest, like I want to go there and I want to go apple picking and I want to go on like a hayrack ride in the fall. And there's
everyone's
all these
like,
things.
Why?
I know. Because you don't
appreciate
it. When you're there, and the 4th of July in the Midwest is fantastic. We don't have that
so
here.
Fun.
So it's just
lethal, but fun.
Very dangerous, but
just a bunch of drunk dads lighting shit on fire. What could go wrong there?
So much.
So many things.
But that's what's lovable about it is it's an element of mystery. Okay, so, and Eleanor's friend is there.
Eleanor's friend is there. So this is kind of where, this is kind of an epiphany that I had yesterday, actually, because... So the thing that I have learned about middle school is that most of the time middle school is a dumpster fire. And when you think about your own middle school experience, there was a lot that was not good, right? Like there was a lot of changing and, you know, whether you're, you know, I know for you, your parents were going through tough stuff. And like, for me, it was like not growing and then growing late and then ADD and all the things that like can make an already existing troublesome time even harder. Middle school can be super sucky.
Yes.
But one thing that I've learned is that there are days that are awesome. And if you don't take a moment to sort of recognize when you've had a great day, when your middle schooler has had a great day, and you try to figure out a way to bookend that so that it starts great and ends great, like you will not have good expectations. And how can your kid have reasonable expectations? My meaning is...
That's a good mental habit for everybody to get into.
It really is. Like, I think, this is so... My friend Danelle used to tell me, she used to say, I never think that something's going to be super fun or super bad. That way, I haven't experienced one way or the other. I'm like, so you're just reasonable? I think you're doing it wrong. You should have like so many expectations that you come out devastated. That's how I operated. But managing expectations is a tricky line to walk as parents because you don't want to be the fun sucker and you don't want to be nothing pisses me off more than when someone says, I want to be a professional baseball player. And there's a parent going, do you know that only 1% of all people become, you're like, way to be a wet fart. Hey,
I feel tagged in this photo and I don't like it.
No.
I definitely am one of the, I
see let kids dream.
Me this week where I'm like, nobody's playing in the NBA, WNBA.
That's you saying
here,
that to your husband because you don't like that he's side coaches.
I said it to the coach, I will tell you, because I was like, she's going to math night. I love the coach, but I was like, we're more likely to go to college for math than basketball. I know my family and I know my genetics and I know
the So she is kind of the problem. Just kidding.
I'm the problem, you guys. But I'm also, saying, people are like, I want to be an actor. I'm like, don't save your dreams for something smart like business.
Yeah, get an MBA. Yeah. But also the other side of that being like the parent who has a kid that's just enjoying the sport and being like, you're going to be part of that Division I team. You know, it's like managing expectations, I think, is really tough. But what I did yesterday, because it was Eleanor's birthday, is I was like, I just want her to have a great day. I really just, aww. I wanted her, like, I knew that my stomach, I was in knots because we've been gone a lot and she is having a good time at her new school, but it's still new.
Yes.
And it hasn't been easy. And all the things that you can imagine with middle school are happening. So she was like, Mom, they decorate your locker when it's your birthday. And I was like, please remember to decorate her locker. Yeah. So I did do a solid mom move. And I texted another mom because I knew her daughter and another friend's daughter were very close. And she's like, oh, they're on it. They're ready. Aww. And I was like, thank you for letting me send you this text and just work in the
and
shadows
then we got
a little
her
bit.
For her birthday.
You have no idea. Like, and this mom, Lauren and Susie have been so awesome. They've helped me when I've been on the road. I don't even know them that well yet, but I'm like, it's going to be weird when I'm like crying and like hugging them because I'm three drinks in because I feel very supported. So Eleanor got, so long story short, I dropped Eleanor off at school and she was so excited about it being her birthday. I've never seen this girl walk so fast because she just wanted to see the locker. And so she walks in and I don't see her. And I'm kind of a mess all day because I'm like, did they decorate her locker? Yeah, is she feeling special? Is everything okay? Because right now it feels like this is when she wants it the most. And I just want her to be happy. And I went to go pick her up and Eleanor walks from the school and she is wearing what looks like a pink cape.
Oh my gosh.
And what I realize, it is a flag with the character JJ from Outer Banks on it.
A crush. It's her crush.
It's her crush.
Guys.
And when I say crush, I'm saying she is every single thing that she wants to talk about, draw, or have any.
We're talking Matthew Perry, 90210.
We're talking Matthew Perry. We're talking like Justin Bieber for some of you youngins. We're talking like
Justin Bieber
Magnum
P.I.
if you're me and you're weird, or
Magnum P.I. for me still.
Yeah, we had the Duke Boys, like there was things.
But like back then, not
back
like
then,
now.
No, yeah. I have Magnum P.I. still.
Like
Tom
him
Selleck.
Current?
It's not terrible.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, it's not terrible. I mean, he's doing all right in Blue Bloods or whatever it is. Oh, that's not terrible. That. I'm just saying he's a devastatingly handsome good man. Okay. Anyway. So Eleanor comes out and she doesn't see me and she's just walking by herself and she has the biggest grin on her face.
Yay.
And she's holding
well
all these bags
girls.
With like a bag of Skittles and a friend. And it's all these things. And she gets in and she's giggling in a way I've never heard her before. And she shows me the front of her locker, which are just these cutouts of JJ.
Love it.
And her friend photoshopped her kissing JJ. And Eleanor was
fantastic.
like doing this weird high pitched like Furby giggle. And I remember I thought at that point, so then I was like, this has been a great day. So as a mom in this moment, I'm like, let this day end great too, which is such a weird thing to think about. But I was like, I just want it to be a great day because now we go home and we're going to have like ice cream with the family. We're going to have, we're going to have cake or whatever and have a dinner. And like Colin comes in and it's been a long day and Finn comes in and he's kind of hard. And I was like, if I don't work really hard to sort of see this through, this could become any other day. And she's had such a magical day. How can I sort of shape it into being something? And it was really just me, like chilling out, not trying to get into it with anybody, not overcorrecting my son, not, you know, getting into dumb details with my husband, just for a night, just for one night.
It really is true. Happy wife, happy life. Like you moms really do like set the tone, man. Cause I
think it's a lot of pressure to think that we set the tone. Cause if my husband came in hot, I'd fire right back. No questions asked. I'd be like, sorry, kid, your birthday was half good. But, but what I noticed was I was like, this is a good reminder for me to, let the good times like happen and don't try to switch things up too fast. Let everybody have a moment. Like I was talking to Eleanor. I was telling her about, she was telling me about her day. And I said something about my work and I was like, oh no. She wants to talk about her day. Let her talk about, let's just chill out. Give her space. Let this be. She is in heaven right now. And good days are hard to come by, especially in middle school. So just do what you can do to make this day, see it through. And if you have any control over it at all, it'll be mood. It'll be like, you know, I think like, don't keep anybody up too late. Don't get into anything bad at night. Don't talk about anything too serious. It kind of made me realize like, I should be thinking about that in general. Like the end of the night sucks. It's always sucked as a mom.
Always.
It was always the hardest hours. Yep. Why is it any different now? I almost think like no business after five.
I'm definitely with my kids. And look, we've only been back from being out of town not that long, but prioritizing good coping skills, because a thing we may or, by the way, may or may not be writing another book, but this time about middle school.
And midlife.
And yeah.
For and my broken vagina.
All the emotions and hormones that all of that involves.
That'll be a freaking Encyclopedia Britannica. How old am I? It'll be 14 goddamn different books. Hormone chapter one.
We're going to try to condense it and just leave the funny parts in.
Real fun, mostly, easy
but,
read.
Yeah. But so I have noticed with them that they're like things are more intense with them. Like
Very.
They're more bothered, and it's definitely the introduction of hormones and like how, you know, it's like middle school is just a big like Hello Kitty shaped like magnifying glass really on social situations, and like
the social maneuvering is impossible.
It feels so intense, and I keep thinking like, so for them, coping is really hard. And I keep thinking of this thing that Jenny Long, hi Jenny, if you're listening, said when she had first had her babies, that like, she goes, it's really weird because the way that your brain shifts when you become a mom is like, you're so focused on yourself and what you want and what you need. And then one day you have this child and they're like doing a cakewalk at church, and all you want is for them to like
win that
cake.
Damn cake.
Yeah. That's all you can think
about. I know,
about.
And you're kind of willing to like throw $20 at the guy to just call out that number. You kind of are.
Oh,
you're kind of.
You can solve all those problems when they're young, for the most part. But as soon as they get into middle school, it is outside of your control, and all you want is for them to feel good. Like, you want a neutral pickup at the end of the day. You want like, it was great. It was
or
good.
Or it was fine.
Okay. It was fine. But like, there's a lot of days where you pick them up. And it's tears, or it was
or they're
not
holding
good.
On to their tears, and then they get it. They're like, just go.
Yeah.
And you're like, who do I need to kill?
It's like, so it's, you got to let some stuff go while you deal with the coping of everything, and like learn how to deal with those bad days. And it's my, you know, my daughter takes everything very personally, not in a bad way. She's just as sensitive. She's a Cancer. She's got a hard outer shell, but soft, mushy inside. And like, stuff gets to her, like somebody criticizing her basketball size at basketball. I was like, I go, this isn't a thing we got to take personally. We got to like deal with it. No, a basketball has nothing to do with you. Like
you're going to go to math camp. We already know that you're not going to be good at basketball.
That's right. You are not playing.
She wants to make fun of something. Tell her you're going to math camp.
I literally said, I go, tell that bitch, take it up with your dad. Because he ordered that ball. Like, don't, it's not on. Like, I just want them to, like, have those skills to make their own good days. Like, you know.
I know, but I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted of the mental, like, the strategies and the,
it's
it feels
lot.
Like you're, I'm playing chess and I don't know anything about chess. I'm like, I think I got to hold on to this big one, this big piece. It's a queen or something. I don't know what a rook is. And I'm playing against people that know chess. Like, it is, you're playing against.
Yes.
Like, just,
you mean like the kids and the
kids and the parents?
Yeah.
And you're also going, like, I've never felt more like exhausted by conversation of how to work through a thing that I am not the key player in. So it is weird to be like, I would problem solve this by doing this.
Yeah.
But I'm on the outside. Yeah. I'm like a VP, man. I'm like just trying to, you know what I am? It's like when boxers are fighting and then they have to go to their prospective corners, and then we're the guy putting the weird thing on the cut, and like, you're like, swing harder. Like, you don't know it, what you're even telling. And then they go back into the fight and you're like, shit, man, I don't know. Go left hook, right hook. I don't know.
Well, it's tricky with the aging too, not just the dealing with the kids, but the parents, is that like when you have really little kids, especially you have toddlers, you have babies, all you're doing is parenting next to somebody else. You're
not working together, because they don't work together. They sort of
kids, they play side by side,
but they're not playing
mom
together.
Friends just play side by side. You're just there in the same location.
So yeah, it's everyone's not as, like, they play so well together. I'm like, they don't know they're next to each other.
They just haven't bit one another.
Because if that one figures out that those blocks are up for grabs, shit's going down. Give me three. Let them turn to three, and then it's like little mean cats. Yeah.
Then they get a little bit older. They like the same stuff. That's still pretty easy, but it's different dealing with the parents, like the other moms right now. Cause it used to be like, here's how I make a mom friend. I'm available for rides. If you are, we need each other. Yeah. We're going to be nice. Yeah. But like, as they get older,
it's weird. It's just harder.
Your styles of parenting are much more pronounced.
Well, you figured out what works for you. And if that person does it different, you just sort of sit like you're like smelling something bad. You're like, we're good with that. That's not what I'm good with.
And if like, we don't allow social media in our house. Same. So it's like a kid comes over with a phone and I'm like, oh, I got to navigate this now. I got to tell the kid like, oh, we're not going to do this. We're going to play, you know, and they push back. I just have to like, that's a whole new ball of wax because you can set your kid up for not being liked because of your family rules. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go play at this kid's house because their parents are too strict, which we have been called.
Well, I'm listening to what you're saying because I find that I think I can be, I don't think this will surprise anyone, but I can be a little bit of a warden of fun, as I've been called. I just, I don't like when I think something's going to turn into an injury. Like last night we were having ice cream with some of Eleanor's friends and they wanted to play green light, red light. But it was on a like outdoor area where people were going to sit for business. And I was like, that's too rowdy. So I immediately cut it off. I go, nope, we're not doing that. And
you're
then I was
good
like,
at that.
You're no, good. I'm not. I actually regretted saying it because I was like, Kristen, let this day end happy. Stop bringing your shit into it. I've got my arms crossed. I'm like barking at Finn. No. Fairy's watching the Family Guy too loud.
I don't think of that shit because Kristen, like, she'll be at a party and she's like, are you going to let them on the trampoline with those rakes? And I'm like, yeah. Huh? Okay. And this
should
get off the
roof. Remember when your back house, there was a bunch of kids in there and I was like, out.
Climbing
like,
out of the windows
I literally
and
will
stuff.
Yell. Yeah. I do not care. I'm like, get out. And like one of the kids like pushed back and he's like, well, they said, I go, I don't care what they said. Get out. You have no business being in here. Yeah. Go outside, throw a ball. You don't need to be in a room by yourself. Get out. Yeah. Like, I just don't give a shit.
No,
I will.
I appreciate that.
But that's
I don't
not
always
a fun tone
the,
at a party.
I don't always foresee the injury, but like, I don't. Here's an example. One of Delilah's friends that I absolutely love, last night we had this school event, wanted to do a play date, like starting at like 6:30 at night on a Tuesday. And I was like, I go, oh. Now I feel the need to explain myself to somebody else's child that I'm like, I go, hey, it's pretty late for a play date on a school night. Like, I would only be comfortable with like an hour and that doesn't make any sense. Like,
you're so much better. You're so nice to even consider it. I'd be like, no, absolutely not. And why are you thinking you can have a play date? You got to get your ass to bed. You need to shower. This is like, no fun will be had now. No, it's nighttime. No work past 5. That includes a play date. Are you kidding?
Hey.
My nerves are shot. No one's having fun at my house on a school night.
Let me tell you.
I make that a rule.
My patients will engage at some point. But let me tell you, when they did not engage, which is one of Delilah's friends told her that Travis and Taylor were already married. And I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard
Jen's
in my
like
life.
Checking her phone immediately.
Yeah. No, I was like, they're not engaged as far as I know. They
Jen's in
not,
the background like, why did you tell me?
I had alerts set up for that. But and her friend goes, she goes, they're not engaged. My mom like follows them and knows that they're not married. They're not engaged. And this girl goes, your mom doesn't know everything. And I was like, you tell
fired.
Her? I absolutely do in that space when it comes
in. Wait, a girl said that about you?
Yeah.
In front of you?
No, she said, no, Delilah told me about it. Because that girl will sing like a bird, man, and I appreciate it.
Oh, man. I think that hurt my feelings.
You think that's the first time I've been told I don't know everything, it was only the first time that day.
Well,
because sometimes I will go confidently in a direction I don't fucking know.
Here's something else that happens.
Garment. Yeah.
I'm going to the Garment District.
Garment.
I'm like, are you from Poland?
Yeah.
I'm going to the Garment District. Yeah. I do notice now, too, there's an extra layer in that I understand that Eleanor is like in the world, right? But she's my sweet little baby. And she's got this high-pitched voice and she's so damn sweet.
Gotta protect
and
the them
girls are me. Sweet. They are. It's just girls together. Sometimes it gets, you know, they get little dust-ups or whatever. But I've also noticed now that I get equally nervous when I go to her school. Like, it's an all-girls school and it's a middle school. And I, every time I go in there, I'm like sweating and I feel like the 11-year-old version of me, which was never cool there. So I'm like walking in and I'm walking down the hallway in this weird, like confident yet too confident, weird thing. And I'm like, I don't want to,
I just want to hang out with the cool girls. That's like, all I want.
I feel eyes on me as I'm walking down this hallway and I'm like, put your left, right, left, right, left. And then my hands are doing something weird. And I don't know if I told this story, but I went to Eleanor's play. She was on Run Crew and I went to see, High School Musical.
Oh yeah.
And, I go into the bathroom.
Oh, where you got complimented. Yeah.
Yes. Did I talk about that on the podcast?
This is the third time you've told it on the podcast.
I'm going to just say it again.
It was a really big moment.
I got complimented by a seventh grader and evidently, and if I have told that story too many times, it's because it meant that much to me.
Well,
and
it's because Eleanor is a sixth grader. So technically you're clocking in as a sixth grader.
I literally was in the bathroom and Eleanor was like leaning against the wall as she does, you know, she talks out of the side of her mouth and the seventh grader like complimented me. And like, I got like a super big smile and Eleanor goes, come on. Like, get out of here, lady. Like, enough already. You don't talk about the compliment. Last night when we were having ice cream, the jokes, I said some dumb joke. I was like, boy, that ice cream, you like it sweet, huh? And the girl looked at me like, she was like,
Oh, one of her friends was there?
There were four friends that we went and had ice cream after her dance class. And I said that, and I was like, stop trying so hard to have them like you. You're being so weird. And then I went and sat with Finn, who Finn loves to just point out when I'm being as uncool. Mm-hmm. So Eleanor is with her little group of friends. They're having a scoop of ice cream. Everything's good. It's so good. Again, I was like keeping it light. I just wanted her to have a great day. And Finn's next to me, which... that's like being on Survivor and someone makes you wear a weight vest during a challenge. So I've got Finn next to me and I'm watching Eleanor with her friends. And I've got, you know, this like little like grin on my face as I'm like watching and I'm kind of lost in myself. And Finn's like, bro, you're like staring at them. I'm like, the biggest mistake I made was inviting you to have ice cream with us. Cause now I am stuck with you. This is like being on a bad date. I was like off to the side, just wanting to be a part of the cool girls, but I knew I can't be there. It's not the right place for me to be there.
It's so hard to manage these social dynamics, and it's because of our own insecurities and like the way that we felt when we were kids and stuff. Because I really do. Delilah told me this is not like she had a disagreement with one of her friends, and one of her friends goes, I'm going to have a party with everyone, but not you.
That's bullshit. That hurts your feelings.
That hurt my... Are you kidding me? I go, well, then I will do a specific invite to 5 to 6 of your friends, and we will go to Disneyland if that's what needs to happen. Like, that's not... I was...
Those are shots fired. When somebody would say, I'm going to have a party and not invite you, then you're like, I'm going to have a party and not invite you. Oh. And then we're going to have a lot of parties and invite nobody.
We're all going to operate like we're all assholes. Yeah, even my mom. But I keep like straddling this line between like managing my own like emotional maturity and teaching her how to make like how to navigate those kinds of situations.
I don't know
like
what you say to someone that says I'm going to have a party and not invite you. I'm so used to it that I just I'm like, I've been me for a while. I'm not the first pick.
Going to bingo night with my grandma.
I've literally created like a fun night of improv comedy at my mom and my grandmother's rest home that I was like, well, now my Thursdays are booked.
I know that's what it feels hard, but it's also like, I also don't think, let me say this. I don't think that girls need to be taught to placate everyone or like give everyone what they need in order to be kind. Like, so I'm trying to teach Delilah, like, she, is having a play date today, and I, you know, the ones that wanted to come over last night, she was like, I feel like I need to invite this person so she's not left out. And I go, it's okay to not invite everyone sometimes.
Yes. Oh my God.
That's hard to learn, you know?
It is.
Because we're taught as women that we're supposed to like make everyone happy, which is like why we like go down bad relationship paths sometimes, you know? So I'm trying to, I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. I think the thing that is tricky is you have to say like, hey, you don't have to invite everybody to your party, but just know that that then applies to you. Like,
right.
It doesn't mean it's intentional, but like, hey man, you can't invite everybody you want. You deserve to have a good day. But if you're going to hear about their party coming up and like you weren't on the list, you got to like take, you got to let it roll off your back. You can't be sore. Like
that's that coping stuff. That's
a tough thing. But at this age, I told Eleanor, I said, look, your confidence and your self-esteem is the only thing that we're working on right now.
Right.
Make you feel good about yourself. Your job right now is to do everything you can to feel good about yourself, because a lot of the time you're going to feel bad about yourself. You're going to think that your body doesn't look right, that you wish you had different hair, that you wish you had different skin, that you were, you know, smarter in a subject. But meanwhile, that is not your job. Your job is to figure out how you can like yourself.
Yeah.
Because then by the time you're done with middle school, high school is where you can create those really strong friendships, and college even more so. But middle school is a battle. It's a battle because it's the first time that we as girls, we start to like really doubt what we look like and how we feel. And then there's hormones, and then there's crushes, and then there's friends, and everything's big. But Eleanor, you know, she lacks self-esteem sometimes. And I'm like,
well,
the people you're around is going to either bring your light up or bring your light down. I used to say it's a feelings bucket, and you get chips, and like, you have to ask yourself, does this friend add chips to your feelings bucket, or do they take them from you? And if you're tired after you've hung out with someone, if you feel a little weepy after you've hung out with someone, if you feel...
That's a really bad sign, but that's...
Well, no, but do you know, like, you feel a little bit, like, vulnerable? Because I know Eleanor can act a little bit like, I'm the funny person, I'm the fun... And then she gets in the car and she's like, I was like, yeah, you were the clown, and that doesn't always feel good.
Oh my God, remind me to tell you about these videos that they're watching in school. I love them so much, but I think that it is important, especially in middle school, that you do focus on like the confidence of the kid, because all of the good stuff that you can be and you can do to other people comes from that like confidence.
Yeah.
Like if you are confident in yourself, it's not scary to be kind to people. It's not scary to like reach out to somebody that's by themselves.
We're always like, better versions of ourselves when we're confident. Right. That's why we say like, you know, back in the day, like if I booked a job, or if I like booked a commercial, that was when I could make calls. Or like if you did something that made you feel really good about yourself, in that space was when I should be like, you know, networking or putting myself out there, or trying new things, because you feel confident to do so. It's momentum, but you don't always feel that. So like, I want her to recognize that sometimes just making the right friend choices can give you the momentum, or it can take it away.
I have to think about that, honestly, like in what I'm doing with my
About your friend choices?
Yes, thank you. Let's the elephant in the room.
I think you've nailed it.
Well, I do say to my kids that like they are going to invite people to their party that they might not want to. And hey, part of that is, look, I had second cousins I didn't recognize and was like, what the hell with this? What hillbilly farm did these people come from? And they came to my kids don't have that. And like there's kids that I, especially when they're younger, that I don't want to have be left out. And part of them being like a confident human being is that you can deal with that. Like I think you have to measure
that as a parent.
It's not the same too when they're a little bit older, you know,
100%.
Because they can't be expected to juggle all those like social elements, but it's like a kid's birthday party.
It's a park party, maybe. My mom was probably right.
Yeah, I get everybody. I'm treating everybody the same like cattle. You get out of line, everybody gets yelled at. It's like, this is
but
how
when
it
they're
is.
On their own, when the whole thing is for you to have them over and sort of go into the background.
You don't want them to have to manage.
No, and I don't want an a-hole. I can sniff one out. Like I'm like, you know, is this person getting you in trouble?
She's so good at sniffing assholes, you guys. You have no idea.
Is that what I just said? Sniffing out assholes?
Didn't she? She just said that. Yeah.
Have we podcasted? Really, I think. Can we go to a freaking hot flash?
I do have a hot flash.
Guys, if the takeaway is that you know how to sniff out assholes, I think that should be a t-shirt.
Yeah, Kristen knows how to sniff out a good asshole.
Listen, I can sniff an asshole, okay? Yeah, I have, and I know who they are. I know the one that's going to show up to the party and be like, hey, let's fucking destroy this thing.
And I'm more the personality who's like, hey, This is a not good smelling asshole, but I'm going to learn how to deal with it.
Yeah, I will sniff the asshole if it means I don't have to deal with the asshole.
Backing away.
But you bring the asshole to the party, and then we all have to sniff the asshole.
Does it smell like butt sniffed, in here?
Yeah. It's like I'm like, Jesus, Jen, like there's a lot LA of assholes in here.
Jeez Louise. Yeah, threatened to revoke my membership there.
Assholes.
Well, speaking of fitness, I do have a hot flash.
Okay, on board.
She's on board. Okay, but we've all watched White Lotus. If you haven't, get caught up, everybody.
This is
not an invitation for you to bring up Walton Goggins, okay?
Turn off your mic.
No, because that's not who the hot flash is.
You just said White Lotus.
I'm gonna take it.
Walton Goggins is on it.
Okay. Let's go younger. Let's go younger.
If you said Legally Blonde, I'd be like, that is weird. If I bring up Walton Goggins, because he's not
was
in
he
it.
In that,
no.
I wouldn't be surprised. You guys,
but
he's
could
in
have
everything.
Played, but he could have played.
Now
lawyer.
That he's on my algorithm, I just know everything that guy's done.
IMDb Pro.
Okay, Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Oh, I love him.
He's young. He's like sweet. He's maybe not our cup of tea because of our age. But girls, if there's anybody younger listening to this,
I can see the appeal. I just look at him and I'm like, is that what Finn's gonna look like? You know what I mean?
Know.
Like, that's how when you know you're older, when you're
literally could be our son.
Yes. I think that guy is getting all the adoration and praise that he deserves. Cause I saw an interview with Maria Shriver and she was saying that he has worked really hard and he has been rejected more times than he has gotten it. And White Lotus was his big break. And like,
they all
cried
when he got
the
call.
They all cried. Oh my God. I just think it's okay for this whole Nepo thing. I get it. Like, I get it. But I think that this kid has worked hard and he is fantastic in the show. He nails that, like, rich, entitled, sort of.
And he is not that way because they're doing a lot of social media that are like the behind the scenes or the cast members sitting together talking and they're nice to each other and they like each other.
Yeah. And Walton Goggins is there and he likes everybody because he's A+.
This is I'm going to have to pull the plug.
But
on this
I do think that he's fantastic and boy, does he look like his dad and his mom together.
Lovable,
they're darling.
Sweet. And the other thing I will say, like, yes, he has great genetics, but that guy's working really hard in the gym. And he's not just like resting on his laurels. The guy could be doing all drugs and cocaine and partying based on who his parents are.
But he's not an asshole. We sniffed it. And he is.
Kristen sniffed that asshole. And it is good to go, young ladies. So
that's how you get into this party. Line up.
I think we podcasted.
I'm going to sniff everybody's butthole.
Okay, we're done, Kristen.
Pioneer.